Blog Talk Radio.
Wow.
Hello, welcome to our show. We want to thank you for joining us. I'm Lady Carolyn.
I'm Elder Emmett Quake Devon.
And tonight our topic is Learning How to Operate in Love by Forsaking All Others. But before we get started, we're going to have some prayer so that we can decrease and God can increase in us. Amen.
Our Father and our God, Father God, we are so grateful to be able to come before your throne right now, Father God. And we're just seeking, dear Heavenly Father, to feel your presence right now in this place, dear Heavenly Father. We seek you for wisdom, dear Heavenly Father, and a better understanding in your word, dear Heavenly Father. So we ask that the Spirit of truth now abide with us, dear Heavenly Father. And we ask these things in Jesus' name, for his sake we pray. Amen.
Again, our topic is Learning How to Operate in Love by Forsaking All Others. We will be discussing our personal experience with learning how to maintain healthy relationships with others, including the opposite sex, but also learning how to be respecting of the covenant of marriage. Many relationships fail because of the enemy of jealousy and insecurity, and also because of the blatant disregard that others have for the sanctity of marriage. Learning how to operate in love in a marriage entails us learning how to establish other relationships, but to also make sure that these relationships are not destructive to our relationship with each other. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And we'll be coming out of the Message Bible tonight, the scriptures coming out of the book of Matthew, chapter 19, verse 6, and the scripture reads, He answered, Haven't you read in your Bible that the Creator originally made man and woman for each other, male and female? And because of this, a man leaves his father and mother and is firmly bonded to his wife, becoming one flesh, no longer two bodies, but one. Because God created this organic union of the two sexes, no one should desecrate his art by cutting them apart. And that's the word of God.
For the people of God, thanks be unto God.
Amen. And the word forsake means to renounce or turn away from entirely, and it means abandon. It is the act of sacrificing or surrendering a possession, right, or privilege. While the historical context of forsaking includes adultery, infidelity does not always equal adultery. There are many other ways a spouse can be unfaithful. A common modern definition of infidelity includes anything that interferes with the marital relationship and becomes dangerous to the marriage. This means not letting in-laws, parents, siblings, or society intrude into the marriage. This can include excesses in work, hobbies, television, computers, video games, or an emotional relationship with another person of either gender that does not include adultery, but does intrude into the marital relationship. Amen.
Amen. Wow. As I mentioned earlier, this is kind of uncharted territory as far as us really speaking about it. It's a very important topic. So the vows, the marriage vows, include after taking all of it, you know, they'll tell you part. It's something that I think a lot of people don't take seriously, are very mindful of. allow any other things to preoccupy oneself to the point where you kind of isolate from each other.
Right.
And let things pull you out of the household for hours at a time, you know, not really fostering the relationship or the marriage, but kind of being self-centered, you know, and shedding the other person out. I think that this is something that the audience really need to hear in order to just pose a question of what are we doing in a relationship to maintain that we're not forsaking one another. You know, a lot of people think that if it's not adultery or something of that nature, then it's all right, you know. But as you mentioned, video games, television, emotional relationships are the same thing.
Exactly. And, you know, as we was talking earlier, that was something that I was sharing with you, that we can definitely relate to this. You know, this topic does fit us because we had to learn, you know, how to put people, places, and things to the side, you know, and concentrate on being one, you know, getting to know each other, because the word says, husband know thy wives know thy husband, you know, and the only way we're going to get to know each other is spend time with each other. And, you know, I was telling you about, I was thinking about when you were spending a lot of time with your brother-in-law. You know, that caused us so much conflict, you know, because you was over there morning, noon, and night, you know. And one of the things that happens in relationships when people spend a lot of time with other people besides their spouses or their mates, it starts to breed insecurity, distrust, you know, anger, people's self-esteem can be affected, you know, because, you know, I've sat home many times and wonder why didn't you want to be with me, you know. And when we were going through so much, you know, because we were going through so much, that didn't help. That didn't help at all, you know. And a lot of times when you're going through, you know, it's not a time to run away from the situation and try to find another outlet, you know. Most, we have to learn how to start facing our difficulties head on, communicating with one another and trying to draw closer to become that one again. You know, like we were talking about last night, renew that, you know, bring it back to the way that it was. And the only way to do that is that we're going to have to pay attention to it, nurture it. You know, another thing like television. You know, television and video games, stuff like that, separates a lot of people. You know, I've heard a lot of wives, girlfriends, mates, you know, feel so discouraged because they know that when they get home, that's what that person is going to be doing, you know, sitting in front of that game. You know, and the games and television and stuff like that, you know, it's addictive. It's addictive behavior, and we get caught up and spun into that web, you know. And sometimes we don't even realize how much time we actually have spent on these things, neglecting our family and our responsibilities, you know. And it's very important that in any relationship that we do understand that the other person that's there, it's still a responsibility for you to pay attention to. You know, we need to be able to know that somebody cares. You know, that somebody feels that I am worthy of them turning off a computer or turning off a TV or putting the game down. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Fixing on people too, huh?
Okay, speak on that.
You know, because I know I am guilty for spending a lot of time, you know, being guilty of that. So, but I feel that, you know, it's really no excuse, you know. Work gets consumed a lot of time. You got to get your rest, so that time that has to be set aside for everybody. You got to have your rest. Function, you know, but the waking hour should consist of some interaction, you know what I'm saying, and communication, and just some time spent, you know, with each other, you know, and I feel that we do, you know, it's not good balance, but we do spend more time together than we used to. You used to be here. I'd be gone a lot of the time.
Yeah, I think that man cave thing, you know, just the word cave, yeah. I'll let you know. But, you know, I'm glad that you could recognize that yourself, because I had to go through a process of being okay with that, you know, because we're going to bed at different times. You know, we're eating separately, you know, and these are things that when we started trying to pull our marriage back together, these things was important to us.
Yeah.
You know, that we spent those little quality times together because when you working and I was working, or even if you just working, you know, one of us away from the house, the other one is looking forward to any amount of time that we can have available for one another. And we do have to go back to putting that little time in there, you know. You know, I come in there and peep at you, you know, and smile at you, and you'll come out and peep at me and smile at me, you know. But it's not the same as it would be if we were actually, you know, sitting down, watching a movie together, you know, or just talking like we normally do, you know. But it happens a lot, and I'm telling you, it creeps up on you, like I was saying earlier, that time, it gets away from you before you know it, you know. Yeah, you can't get it back. You know, 2 days pass, you know, 3 days pass, you know, before you know it, you know, spent a week, you know, in your man cave, you know. And I was telling you earlier, you know, and I had to learn, you know, in my recovery process, you know, I'm going to meetings 7 days a week, you know, sometimes twice a day, you know, and these were my friends, this was my outlet, but it was neglecting, you know. I was still neglecting my family because I was looking at, when someone had brought it to my attention, the lady that was my sponsor then, she told me that I need to go home and work the program in my house, you know, because she knew some of the issues that we was having, and it was real hard for me to come here and sit here in the mess, you know, and try to figure out things that God was telling me I need to do, because, you know, the rebellion comes first, you know, try to figure out, you know, how am I going to submit to the application of actually helping my marriage. You know, establishing that hope, you know, renewing that trust and getting that desire back. And I tell you, you know, when the more time that I spend here, not shirking my wifely duties and, you know, being able to just be here when you got here, you know, and we were, you know, going to bed at the same time, you know, and just interacting with each other, it made a big difference. It made a real big difference, you know. And the things that we got to look at, it does not matter if a person is having sex, like the reader was talking about. Adultery is anything that I'm putting before you in our marriage that's making you feel uncomfortable about what it is that I'm doing, you know. Same thing, like if I decide that I'm going to just leave you in the man cave, sooner or later you're going to wonder why. Why hasn't she checked on me, you know? Why is she not coming in here and sitting down and talking with me anymore? You know, you have to understand that at a certain given time, we give, and then we don't want to do it anymore. We give up. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So we do have to.
Because that's a two-way street, you know, to give. Not only it's got to be a medium there. There's got to be a point where, you know, we are sharing and spending that quality time together, because it's so easy to drift apart. Like you say, you know, it turns into days and days into months, weeks and months, and then you know a year's gone by.
Mm-hmm.
And you're wondering, you know, what's really going on? You know,
mm-hmm.
So it's imperative to have that quality time.
Or you start wanting that time with that person. That person that got so used to you not being there, because you remember that's what happened in part of our story, you know, when things started really getting rough with us. You know, I had got to the point where I didn't see you anyway, so it didn't matter anymore, you know, because I had adjusted to that. You know, and I remember there were some times when you would say, well, you want to go do this or you want to go do that, and I'm like, mm-mm, I already got plans, you know, because I had been living my life learning how to make plans on my own, by myself, because when it first started, I felt so uncomfortable being a married woman, always going by myself, alone, you know, and that's something that we have to be real careful that we don't just leave. You know, we don't want to forsake the ones that we married to, you know. Don't abandon
and that's
me.
That's what it's all about,
mm-hmm.
you know. It is forsaking the ones that you married to, you know. And therefore now, you know, I don't care what it is, if you say, baby, you know, let's go. It's been a few times that I didn't go with. For the most part, you know, I try to go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I try to go.
It's a lot different than the way it used to be. It's a lot different. And it's real important, you know, it's important that we know that we have that kind of companionship, you know, that kind of friendship, you know, that kind of fellowship where I don't have to be alone. You don't have to be alone. If nobody else will go, we ought to know that we'll go with each other, you know. And, you know,
and sometimes I don't, you know, sometimes I don't feel up to it, you know what I'm saying? But
mm-hmm.
it's just that the opportunity has come up where we can go and be together. And I just, you know, I make that adjustment, you know. And 9 times out of 10, once I get there, I enjoy myself, I have a good time. Because I always have a good time with you, you know, regardless of where we go, you know. And that's the way it should be. You know, I've heard people that's been married for 50 years, and people will say you've never seen one of them without the other.
Right.
I don't care where it is. The grocery store, the dentist's office, I don't care where it is.
Mm-hmm.
They're always.
And then you have people that say, I didn't know you was married.
Yeah. Now, that's a problem.
Mm-hmm. It is a problem.
That
same
is
thing.
Problem.
If somebody say, I didn't know you had children.
Right.
You know, because we got to look at, you know, children are a part of, we shouldn't forsake them, you know.
Amen.
You know, and we also don't allow the children to come in between us. You know, they part of that, too. You got to be careful about children splitting up families, you know. What was the word we were talking about this before? When children split. You know, what I can't think of the word, Holy Spirit. But anyway, for sake of another word, you know, when kids come in between, you know, like they trying to play both ends against the middle, you know, when kids.
Tell mama one thing,
right.
I would say no. Then they wait a little while and then pose the same thing to the father. And daddy said it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
He don't know that mama said no.
Right.
You know. So later on mama come and ask who Chucky at though. Where's Susie at? Oh, they gone, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I told them I said no, people that couldn't do that. Well, I didn't know. You know, so they'll play that role to get what they want, you know.
Right.
And that's a problem.
It is, and it really depends on where the relationship is, because the conversation doesn't always go like that. You know, we'll start blaming each other, you know, for...
Every time I say no, you let them do what they want to do, and the next thing you know, we're at odds with each other because of something that, you know, they did. You know, so it's something that you have to watch and be conscious of, because, you know, children will play them games. You know, I know I played them when I was, you know, young. And, but my parents, I can say one thing about them. When it came to that, we didn't pull the wool over their eyes, because they pretty much knew, you know.
Yeah.
And with us now, you know, you're sending, you know, William to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if he asks to do something or to go somewhere, go ask your daddy.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And I'll say, did you talk to your mom about it? What did she say? You know, she told me to come and ask you. So that way, you know, and once I give my answer, I'll come and let you know that it's all right or it's not all right, one or the other, whatever, you know, the case may be. But that way, it eliminates that mind game right there.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, it
but
does,
for a
yeah.
while, it wasn't like that.
No.
You know?
Matter of fact, the reason why it is like that was to help you and him develop a relationship without putting me in the middle.
Right.
Because there was a time when I was in the middle, and I think that can happen a lot in families, in blended families, you know, when one parent is the biological parent and the other is not, you know. So, you know, when I became the person that was in the middle and both of y'all fighting me, you know, pitting me against each other because you was feeling one way that toward him and he was feeling one way toward you, and both of y'all feeling a certain way that I should feel like I should be reacting, you know, and it was difficult. It was very difficult, you know, just being that person in the middle, you know, having to find out, you know, how do I get in the position of operating in love, you know, without forsaking YouTube,
right.
You know, because it's really a hard thing when you used to doing things by yourself outside of a marriage with children. And then you get into a marriage, and there's another person there who's actually the head of the family, and that puts you in order, but the difference is that you had been the head of the family.
But see,
you know,
it's one thing to be that head, but not operate in that authority where you should,
mm-hmm.
you know, because it got to a point where I felt like my words really wasn't making a difference, so I kind of abandoned the whole issue for a while.
Right.
You know, and you got tired of that too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you know, you're going to participate.
Right.
You know, you're going to participate. And it's a sad commentary because it should never be that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like God. What would it be like if God felt that way about us?
Right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
He took his hands off and said, okay.
I'm tired of this.
You don't want to listen to me? You don't want to do what I say? Okay.
Mm.
I'm taking my hands off the situation. We'd be messing up.
Yeah, definitely.
We probably would cease to exist.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if he really put his foot down, you know. So.
Mm-hmm.
And
kids do get some issues from that, you know. The child is messed up.
And the structure is.
Because that is an abandonment issue.
And the structure is. What unconditional love is, regardless of what happens, love never fails.
Love never and endures.
And then endures. That's right.
Bears
so
all.
We have to know that you can't forsake somebody just because of how you feel.
Right.
You know, I don't care how angry and how upset you get, you still got to participate in that person's life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you still got to make those decisions and those choices. And you got to do stuff that you don't feel like you want to do sometimes.
Right.
You still got to do it for the sake of that person.
Amen.
You know, so get up and move, you know, get your little attitude out of the way and make it happen, you know. And I found out that in the long run, that's what helps build the family up.
Right.
And helps keep the family together, you know. And it starts at the head. The head has to be the example, you know what I'm saying? So it's just the way it is, you know. And when we start, you know, trying to separate ourselves from that, then we're out of order.
Right.
You know, you can't separate yourself from it. Once you marry, regardless to if you're biological children or not, they're yours. You have accepted that responsibility. It's a package deal, so you might as well just man up and deal with whatever it is that comes along.
Mm-hmm.
That's
what
God is
for.
If you don't mm-hmm. know how to navigate through this, you know, this new life that you have, then just ask God. You know, the Holy Spirit will show you, guide you, lead you. That's what he's here for. That's why when Jesus ascended into heaven, he said, I'm going to send you a comforter.
Amen.
I'm going to send you a helper. I'm going to send you someone that's going to help you with those, if I can say, gray areas that the Bible don't cover, I cover. Because there's some things that come along in life that the Bible really don't, you know, get in the house. You know, is this the right house for us? You know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing how, you know, once you're in the Word and once you have a connection, you know, with God, that even those little things work out for the good.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it's imperative that we have that whole structure, you know, in our life. So we won't forsake those things that we need to make sure that we pay attention to, you know, and make those things priority in our life so that nobody feels forsaken
right.
or feels left out, because it's not a good feeling. That's not a good place to be, you know, in a relationship where there's so much responsibility, you know, not just for the parents, but really for everybody.
Everybody. Mm-hmm.
But even with children, you can feel that way with them,
mm-hmm.
you know. It's enough to have to go to work and be gone all day and come home and you don't see your child all day. You know, I mean, and there's things that, you know, as a parent, we want to know, you know, how our children's day was or what's going on with them, what is it that they need, you know, any emotional needs, anything they need to share and talk about, you know. But you can't establish that if that person's not there,
mm-hmm.
you know. And that leaves an empty spot in your heart, too.
Mm-hmm. And in the child's heart,
yeah.
because if they ever get used to you not being there, then they're just like a wife or a husband.
They're gonna feel it.
They'll give up. They'll give up trying too.
Nah, won't give up trying. Maybe in that area, but they're gonna give up because that's our makeup.
Mm.
You know. So if there's something empty,
we're
gonna try to fill it with something.
Yeah.
So that's a wow. This is gonna probably be another part two.
Amen.
Because I could definitely feel that there's so much more to this topic that needs to be discussed. So
that's true. But we have come to the end of our time. I want to pray us out. Amen.
Father God, we thank you once again, Father God, to be able to be used in your service, Father God, and we pray that someone has gotten something out of what was discussed tonight, dear Heavenly Father. Well, we know, dear Heavenly Father, that you will not leave us nor forsake us, Father God, and that you are an example, Father God. We pray that this word gets established in the hearts of those that are listening, Father God, so that it would help them to have a better relationship and a better life. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. For his sake, we pray. Amen.
Amen, amen. And again, we'd like to thank you for joining us, and we hope that you'll join us again. And we like to say, as usual, that no matter what the situation is, the circumstance, problem,
the
message
is
always
love. Amen.
Amen. It's been a good day, and I want to thank you.